Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Apex Frozen Foods Limited Q4 and FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chaudhry Karuturi, Managing Director and Interim CFO of Apex Frozen Foods. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the investor call for the fourth quarter and full year of FY 2023. With us on the call today is Mr. Durga Prasad from our finance team and Stella IR Advisors, our investor relations advisory team. We have uploaded the investor presentation on the website of the stock exchanges, and we hope you have had a chance to go through it. The financial year 2023 started on a challenging note due to the geopolitical tensions, especially for export-oriented companies that had just recovered from the aftereffects of the COVID pandemic. This in turn, of course, elevated the risk mitigation measures by the major economies in the world, leading to inflationary pressures as well as recessionary sentiments. This led to a lower than expected growth in some of our key markets, which were affected due to these inflationary pressures primarily. However, we are cautiously optimistic that things will return to a level of normalcy and that will allow us to scale up our operations in the forthcoming quarters. Let me round up some of the key highlights of the fiscal gone by. Although lower than our initial expectation, we clocked a volume growth of 8% year-on-year to 13,044 metric tons of shrimp sales. More importantly, the share of the ready-to-eat sales increased to 22% in FY 2023 from 20% in FY 2022 and 15% in FY 2021. Keeping in line with our focus to increase value-added or RTE share, ready-to-eat product share in the revenue mix, we have expanded the ready-to-eat capacity from 5,000 metric tons to 10,000 metric tons by adding another line at the existing facility in Raghampeta, near Kakinada. I'm very happy to share that incremental capacity has been commissioned in the end of May 2023, just a few days ago. We have started the commercial production on that. However, during the process of expanding our current facility, the utilization of our existing lines was slightly impacted for the Q3 and Q4 FY 2023 as the installation had forced the shutdown of the existing facility for some period. This temporary impact led to a slightly lower share of RTE sales in these quarters. From this quarter onwards, the facility is running at normal levels, of course, from end of May. A more favorable product mix has aided average realization to remain stable or rather grow in FY 2023 by 5% year-on-year, even as global shrimp prices witnessed correction on account of subdued demand from key markets like the USA and EU. Profitability was impacted due to higher raw material costs as there was a shortage of raw material, raw shrimp supply in India. This, as you all know, we have been explaining time and again that there has been consolidation among the farmers too, and changing strategies of which they are continuing to do is changing of their strategies of going for higher stocking densities. Thereby they are now looking at lower stocking densities so that they could also give a, you know, consistent product output. But the main reason, of course, the shortage, of course, was also mainly because of the conservative approach at the primary producer level, along with some disease incidents of disease in some areas, along with the climatic situations problems during last towards the end of last year. In the last quarter, that is Q4 FY 2023, we also had a write-off to the extent of 74.6 million rupees, which relates to receivables from farmers, primarily It has got to do with seed sales where some of the farmers could not repay. And of course, these were pertaining to prior periods, and the company had taken the view to write them off completely, as these were not in a recoverable situation with the plight of those primary producers from the past. Our balance sheet, of course, is leaner than before, as there have been some improvements. Our gross debt has been lowered by 76 crores in FY23 to rupees 91 crores as on 31st March 2023. The debt equity continues to remain at a comfortable level, currently around 0.18 times. Inventory and debtors, which had increased due to the after effect of COVID-led disruptions, have been coming down, and our working capital days stood at 94 days as on March 2023, as against 123 days in the fiscal before, that is in FY22. Consequently, cash flow from operations have been improving too. For the full year, our net revenue is rupees 10,703 million, which is 1,070 crores, was up by 16% year-on-year. EBITDA at rupees 848 million versus rupees 921 million in FY22, primarily due to the write-off and increases in raw material costs to certain extent. Consequently, our PAT, profit after tax, came in at rupees 359 million versus 411 million in FY22. We are happy to report that the board has recommended to a dividend of 25%, that is rupees 2.5 per share for the year FY23. Coming to Q4 FY23, we saw volume growth of 17% year on year. That is to the extent of 2,851 metric tons. However, realization lowered by 13% year on year on the back of tapering global shrimp prices due to subdued demand and also a higher share of China exports to China in Q4 FY23 sales mix and a lower share of RTE due to the reasons explained earlier. Consequently, net revenue at rupees 2,119 million grew marginally year on year. This, along with higher raw shrimp costs and write-off in Q4 FY23, impacted the profitability, definitely. Coming to the shrimp market highlights, the U.S. market, our largest demand center, continues to see growth in demand of shrimp. It is quite stable. Of course, there are issues related to consumption of inventories, which are lying there in the market. And as you know, in the U.S., they do consider the shrimp as a healthy alternative, as a lean meat compared to red meat and other products. We see the demand from the U.S. to continue to remain stable. We are currently negotiating our orders with our large retail chains who have already placed for the summer arrivals, and now they are starting to look at their holiday sales based on this summer consumption, which is happening right now in these months of June, July, August, up to the Labor Day weekend. So we are also focusing mainly on our business related to RTE products, especially, and we should see some positive results going forward. Then, of course, primarily dependent on how the summer sales happen, both in the U.S. market and coming to the EU market, that is another lucrative market that we are focused on. Like we had updated during our previous investor call, EU health authorities have visited India, and we are hoping that now they are going to decide about approving new facilities out of India, which will enable us to export even the ready-to-eat products to the EU market. However, under the ready-to-cook products, we have been increasing our market share to the EU, and we are confident we will continue to grow it further and further as we are clocking newer contracts with certain retail chains which we have not dealt with in the past. Our facilities are ready to handle any incremental value-added demand that comes from the EU. That said, as I mentioned, the demand from retail continues to be strong, and we are seeing stronger growth from our existing product offerings in the EU market, as I mentioned, in ready-to-cook products. We expect the share of EU as well as the UK markets in our total sales to be improving further in the current fiscal, that is FY 2024, and we are very positive about that with regard to the growth of the market share with EU. For FY 2023, our exports to China were around 5%. However, a large part of this came in the last quarter. This demand was driven by, of course, the relaxation of COVID restrictions and based on anecdotal evidence. The Chinese demand is also starting to veer towards convenience, especially among the younger urban generation. As explained in all the previous calls, typically the Chinese shipments would be at or are mostly of commodity products until now, and we hope that things are changing, and they always would be among the low-priced products. One of the reason why our realization per kilo also was a little bit affected during the Q4 FY 2023. The global supply side has seen the emergence of Ecuador as a key supplier, which we have been reiterating in all our previous calls to some of our markets. They have recently ramped up, of course, their production and have been moving up in terms of their output as well as reach. However, the key part here for India is that we continue to have the advantage of having lower operating costs as well as an established ecosystem for value-added products, where we are definitely steps ahead of that country. On the supply side, for us, as we had mentioned in our last call, we had challenges in procuring specific sizes of our shrimp to meet our orders. Based on our recent interactions with farmers, they did reduce stocking densities, and some of them have done, and others are also looking forward to. They're reducing the stocking densities of shrimp in the ponds in which they are rearing the shrimp for aquaculture. This is mainly to try and reduce the incidence of diseases and also rationalize their operating or variable costs, which has become the need of the day, is to, you know, limit the costs at the farm level. As a result, we believe that overall production in India, of course, will be a little bit lower. We are looking forward to see how things are going. Currently, we do see our seed sales happening continuously as the farmers are also enthusiastic with regard to lower costs. Of course, also, the success rate in some of the areas with regard to farming of shrimp. Lastly, going forward, we are hopeful of getting decent order flow for our expanded value-added capacity, and a strong financial position will help us pursue that growth. With that, I conclude our opening remarks, and now I request the moderator to open the floor for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Yogansh Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please. Yes, Mr. Yogansh.
Sir, like you were mentioning in your opening remarks that we have been working on newer markets, and of late in last two, three years, we have seen how just depending on U.S. has been a bit worrisome for the industry overall. Going forward, in other than European market, are there any other markets also that you and the team is working hard to crack into?
Yes.
Any update on that?
Yes. Yes, we are working. One is Saudi Arabia and also South Korea. There are some issues with regard to regulatory challenges in Saudi Arabia. We are actually coordinating very strongly with Government of India, not just us, but the industry, so that the whole of industry can, you know, tap the potential in other importing markets also. Mostly the Middle East as well as the Far East nations, including South Korea. South Africa is one country where we have stopped for a while, our company specifically, where we are also looking forward to again re-engage with them, and we have received inquiries from few retail outlets which have connections to the West also. So we got we are exploring that market also again. We are going to restart again, and this overall should improve our diversification of market share across markets. But however, we all have to keep in mind definitely that the United States is the largest consumer of shrimp products in the world. But to have a balancing act, definitely our company is focused, and that is one of the primary reason why we are pushing in for more orders with the countries of EU, and this year we have also started UK more aggressively, and we are pursuing with the other markets too, as I explained just now.
Got it. So, sir, if at all we should expect see some new markets coming in as a business, so is a fair timeline, say 1 or 2 years down the line, or it can happen?
We can actually look at the starting of the business with those markets, except the ready-to-eat, which I mean, it's still subject to regulatory challenges which are there, which we have also been discussing with the government authorities, and we hope it gets knocked out with regard to our new facility approval for EU, that is for ready-to-eat. But apart from that, the all other markets which I just mentioned, we would definitely be starting our business with those markets in the current year itself, some of them even before September end, and some more towards the end of this year, this fiscal year. And from there on, we hope, we are confident that we could have a regular business being conducted with such markets even going forward from next year onwards. But some of those markets we will be also, we are already having some confirmations happening, and we expect the shipments to start before September end of this year itself.
Okay. And so, like, we understand that US and European markets are better markets in terms of the demand for higher value-added products, and the margin profiles are much better compared to China, which is more of a commoditized market. So how are the Saudi Arabia and South Korea and Japan as a market? Are these also markets which have requirement for value-added products and higher margins, or these are also a bit of commoditized, if you could give more?
We are not as commoditized as China, to be precise. We do have value-added products going to South Korea as well as the Middle East, but it's just that the combination of sizes are much varying. So some of them are very big sizes, which they would be looking at, as the consumption markets like Middle East is not very huge, but still it is decent. While South Korea and of course even Japan, the value-added products scope is quite high, and we are looking forward to, especially in Japan, we are looking forward to partner with one of the importing companies there, where not just the regular headless shell on shrimp, but also products like Nobashi shrimp is being explored with. And once we get our lines set and our team trained up for that, we could start that production hopefully before the end of this year. That's what, that with regard to Japan, we look at towards the end of the year. But South Korea, that's also value-added, not as commoditized as China, but it will be mostly raw, ready-to-cook, of course, like some of most of the ready-to-cook products which we do to the US and Europe, similar like those products also to South Korea.
Okay, understood. And sir, my second question is on the write-off that we have taken of 7.5 crore during the year. So, firstly, this looks like a bit, this is a big enough amount given the fact that most of our clients are very old clients, and some with which we have been working for many, many years. So, a write-off in this kind of arrangement is a bit surprising of this quantum. So, if you could, share a little more details on what exactly happened here, and is this one-off, or is there any more amount that's still to come?
Okay, as I mentioned in the earlier, in the opening remarks, most of the write-off was related to shrimp seed sales, which was done to farmers, primary producers, and it was not just for 1 year, it was there for, it was accumulated number over a period, and in fact, it was also disclosed very much in the annual reports over the past 2 to 3 years, But this year, we looked at the industry scenario, and as I mentioned, being primarily about farmers and their seed buying, which they did from the company's hatcheries since the past 3 to 5 years almost. So we have, the board has decided to provision for that and write it off once for all. And it is a one-off. We don't have any such, receivables or debt, any outstanding debtors like that pending. And it is not any write-off related to any customers. All customers have been very prompt in their payments, and like you said, established customers, there's no issue at all with them. We don't have any problems with any of our customers across the globe, except maybe here and there are some delay of 1 or 2 days based on releases, but there's no issue with any of the customers. So this write-off was primarily pertaining to the shrimp seed sales mainly, and some few advances given to some farmers. And this is a one-off, as you asked. I'm just confirming that.
Thank you. We request you to come back in the queue for follow-up questions. We have our next question from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So regarding this write-off, how much volume we're expecting in this financial year?
We expect the volume of this financial year, we expect at least anywhere between 3,000 to 5,000 metric tons. We are positive of that. We are looking forward in the total production. We look between 3,000 to 5,000. We have already done last year. We did around 2,500 metric tons, in production. But this year we are looking forward, and it's all subject to how the market conditions. We are hoping for the summer sales to be good, but subject to the economic conditions in those markets. As most of our ready-to-eat products go to retail outlets in the United States for now. So retail ready-to-eat lines, our utilization is mostly dependent on the U.S. market for sure. Currently, as of today. So yeah, that is the situation.
Just follow up on that. Even if you do 5,000, then we still have more headroom for. We will end up.
We will have capacity. As the capacity is 10,000 metric tons as of today as we speak. Of course, our optimum capacity, which can be done in a positive manner, is 80% of our total installed capacity. So that is based on that. If you see, we are looking at, so even if we look on optimum utilization, we should be hitting 50% of our minimum of that 8,000 metric tons for sure. So that's why I said between 3,000 to 5,000 metric tons will be definitely be looked at this year.
Yeah, thanks. And one more thing regarding this US market. So I think we have some suppliers which are supplying at very low price to the US market. That is also one of the factors to have some low demand. So even from retail point of view, even if the demand consumption is increased, but we could not, maybe even the industry could not able to compete those competitors who are supplying at a very low rate from the Mexico or South America rate. So this problem will sustain even if there is a improvement in demand from the users also. So what could be the outlook over there? I think it's a big, I feel it's a big threat.
Mainly today it is less to do with offers or low-priced offers or lower-priced sales from various countries across the globe, including some companies like you mentioned, even in India or any other country in the world. What it is today, the main problem is, of course, the product which is there in the form of inventories in U.S. market is also the main reason why currently there is the inventories did not get consumed as planned, as envisaged by our importing customers, mainly because of the recessionary impacts and overall inflationary pressures which have been there for the past 6 to 9 months for sure. So that is one of the reasons why the inventories were not consumed on as they would have been normally being done. So keeping aside the supply part or low priced offers, it is as these inventories are being consumed, and we are quite positive on the summer sales right now as the summer season is starting and the summer holidays and the school breaks and college breaks are going to happen now from now to till the till Labor Weekend, which is in September. We do expect those to be consumed, and based on that, of course, our customers are also planning subsequently for the holiday sales from this month and next month. They are going to start placing the orders accordingly. Now, the challenge will always be there with regard to lower priced offers from companies from anywhere. That will always be there, but the sustenance of such companies in medium term also is going to be a challenge. And end of the day, it is just not price. The customers are also focused on the quality. So one of the reasons why we have our order book intact and we have our customers still working with us is also about the deliverables and also consistency in the quality. That in that way, our customers are buying regularly from us, and we have not stopped sales with any of our customers. It's just a slowdown, primarily because of their problems on their consumer end, so which we believe will slowly get eased out and we are getting back to normal. Added to that, we are also focusing mainly on doing more value-added products there also, so that we could increase our share in such products. And such low-priced offers typically are not there by companies which do value-added products. It will be mostly by those companies which are dependent on the commodity markets. And because of a pause in Chinese market to some extent towards the end of last year, there was a rush for everybody to move towards the US market. But as the other markets like China also open up, such companies will also be focusing back again with to such markets. So we are placed well currently with our customers. And apart from that, one of the main points regarding marketing is our company is exploring a tie-up with one of the importing company in the US, especially to take care of food service and retail additional, so that we tap the potential with additional customer base, create new customer base, and which we are working with the company, with that company on the marketing tie-up, which will be informed later in the later part of this year to the to the public as and when such decisions are firmed up and concluded.
Yeah, that's very helpful. And lastly, on this raw material prices of our gross margins, raw material cost is increasing quarter on quarter now. I think the last quarter we have 76% of the raw material cost, and the realization is getting dropped every quarter on quarter. So what could be the outlook for this raw material price? It will continue at this level or back to a few quarters or like 70%?
Raw material costs are varying based on the supply and the demand. It is a demand supply situation. And if you ask us about Q4 FY23, the raw material costs were high. Q1 FY24, as we speak right now, the raw material costs are low because the supply is good and it is everybody has stocked. I mean, it's good for the period in this quarter. I'm not saying it's for the whole year, but it is good, and right now the raw material prices are low. We hope this situation will be there. There will be that we can take advantages of such tailwinds at least in the first two quarters of the current financial year. And as the farmers are also rationalizing their costs and, consolidating their operations, and hopefully for their better success. And as they limit their costs and have a successful crop, we believe we should be able to have a good supply and with not a significant increase in raw material costs. That's what we believe. But currently, to tell you the truth, the raw material costs are down by around 30 rupees per kilo to 50 rupees per kilo, depending on the sizes, from the peak time to now, and as we speak at this, as on date. So this will be there. It is more of a demand supply situation. And with regard to our sales price, naturally, when the demand picks up again, and as the consumption happens there, as the inventories get consumed there, naturally we look at our increase in sales price too. But on the sales price, considering the global supply which is there from all over, we don't believe a significant rise will be there with regard to sales price increases. It will be there, but it will be marginal. And most of the corrections, whatever, have to happen on the raw material side. That is the reason why the industry is coordinating with the farmers also to look at better successful crop with cost rationalization, or rather, cutting their cost down, by reducing stocking densities and having a better output. So that is what is happening. So we should see how the results will be there with the farmers going forward.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. And lastly, an EBITDA margin, can you guide for this FY24? What could be the margins we are targeting?
We can't today. I can't specifically say about it. Like, if this raw material costs continue like this, which are there today, which is not going to be the case. We know it will be changing another few months, or a few weeks rather, sorry. And it will be like a seasonal. It has become seasonal, unlike it was 2-3 years ago, where it was there throughout the year. Now it has become seasonal. So at this point, it is too premature. Maybe we will be able to give a better, forecast or better outlook more towards the end of first quarter. Apologize for that.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot. That's all my comments. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, hello.
So the industry talk, as much as what we can understand and hear, is that things should be hunky-dory, or at least back to normal from August, September in the U.S. market. The question I had was, supposedly this happened. Of course, we don't know whether it happened or not. You are a better judge than I am, and the audience is at this point. But if it happens, would we have enough supply in the country?
Supply, of course, is a challenge this year. We are looking to that. Now, if there is supply is not enough, of course, it does not limit the option of sourcing the product from other areas, even if it is outside India, which we don't rule out totally, but of course entirely dependent on how the pricing is, of course. But given the current atmosphere, the serious players among the farming community are definitely strategizing in a much better manner, and they are, of course, conservative compared to earlier times, but they are also focusing on rather having a successful crop rather than just going for high stocking densities. Getting volume even in lower stocking densities also is helpful, because we would get more of medium and larger sizes, which are mainly required for USA and Europe markets, which is where the dominant sizes are mostly large and medium sizes. So we are seeing farmers have been made to understand that the very small sizes of, example, not very small, I mean 100 count, 100 pieces per kilo is not the standard barometers. I mean, it's not the size, the standard size or the benchmark size for them to focus upon, and rather they should reduce their stocking densities. And naturally, when the we are looking forward for any positives which can come when we go for lower stocking densities and, you know, growth, better growth is there. Overall, the output could be stable. But yes, we would definitely notice some drop in the supply on an annual production basis unless all areas make those changes and, you know, a good success is noted among all the areas. Because not necessarily all farmers and all areas are actually changing the methodologies. So we should see how things go by as we move into the this second crop. We are, our seed sales definitely for now is good. It is good for now. It's going good. The all seed has been booked and we are paying in advance and taking the seed. That is, we as a company with regard to supply can look at that as a basis, and also as we interact with our farmers, we see how they are planning and they are comfortable with prices. It is more about the yielding out of their ponds, which they are now more concentrating rather than just going in mass and going in a high stocking densities. So we should see how things will evolve over the next few months. But for currently, it is, you know, the farmers have been, I mean, the farmers who, with whom we deal with, not only in the state of Andhra Pradesh, but also Orissa, because we are also sourcing from other states. So they are actually taking out crops for now in a good way. So I don't know how the second crop will be there, whether there will be any major climatic conditional effects or any major disease issues. We don't know. This year, of course, the rains are a little late. Compared to under warmer temperatures are still there. That is another reason why there is also a good, it, of course, extreme heat is also a bad thing, but warmer temperature definitely is conducive, it creates a conducive environment for the shrimp to grow also. So we are keeping our fingers crossed for the year's overall supply, to answer your question.
Understood, sir. So secondly, you have mentioned, and of course the market rates are there for people to see, that they are currently at the lower end. I'm talking about the farm gate prices of shrimp. And given that our balance sheet position is healthier than it has been in the couple of years, past couple of years, are we actually taking advantage of the situation and trying to stock on raw materials?
I wouldn't be able to comment entirely on that. It depends on which sizes are, you know, based on our communications with our customers, and that such sizes which are being foreseen to be less available or something like that. But end of the day, before that, you also should understand we have not really, the prices of raw material have not lowered to that lowest of the low. Of, say, example, 180 rupees of 100 count, we are still at 220, 210. It's a reduction of 30, 40 rupees. Basically, the higher price which was there has got reduced, that's all. So at least it's a comfortable price, raw material price, which we are buying, of course, based on the supply. But it has not gone to a very low price. And yes, a strategy of any sort of, taking advantage, it's less of advantage or more to ensure a proper supply for our customers' needs of certain sizes which are envisaged to be unavailable going into the future, at least in the near term, next 1 to 2 months. Something like such kind of things, which I unfortunately wouldn't get into.
Okay, sir, got that. So the last question from my side, could you provide the breakup or the major components of the inventory? I believe we have around 180 crores of inventory on books as of the financial year closing. So how much of it is raw material, how much of it is finished goods, if there is any stock in transit within that?
Sorry, 1 minute, please. Mm-hmm. Sir. Look, only finished product. There are other inventories, of course, include everything, not just the finished product, but also the materials and other chemicals.
Yes, true.
The 90% of the value is finished goods, something.
Yeah, only the finished goods.
Mr. Awasthi?
Yes, sir. Actually, the figure, I didn't get the figure. Finished goods figure,
yeah.
You said.
Yes, sir. Anthony? Yes, sir. No, no. How many crores was it? He was inventory, only the finished product inventory.
$165
Hello.
Hello, sir. Yes, sir. So 165, right?
165.
Oh, it's got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Vaibhav Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my question was also linked to the previous participant. Do you think, based on your commentary, is it safe to assume that your working capital would strengthen further this year? Could you just give some take on that?
Oh yes, we are. Yes, definitely, we are looking forward for the working capital cycles to be strengthening further this year. Our total working capital days, it has come down to 94 days. We are still looking for an improvement this year also, especially with our realizations from our customers, as well as utilization of product from the inventory is also being done simultaneously. And sorry. Better realization cycle from our customers and better utilization of the inventories also is definitely going to improve the working capital cycle days. Sure, in this year also.
Great. Well, my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone. We have a next question from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So from the conversation or your comments, it is quite evident that margin profile going forward could improve given the drop in inventory or sorry, RM costs during the quarter. And second half could be a positive year. Second half of the year could be quite positive. From many angles, right? Inventory would go down in the US. So just to get a sense on the current situation of, let's say, Q1 and Q2, which would be first half of this fiscal, any color or any guidance that you can have on the volume front, sales front, our run rate for last few, half years could be 7,000 metric tons. Do we expect for that to continue or that to improve, or could it be the other way around?
Well, given the supply situation, that should be the, and also the focus on utilizing the more volumes which we are trying to plan on ready-to-eat also. Between that, definitely we should be looking at 7,000 metric tons in the first half. We are positive, but at the same time, of course, subject to supply, but we will also be utilizing most of the inventories too. And we are looking forward for that, even though there was a little bit of issue in the, and capacity issue in the beginning of the year in the month of April and part of May, mainly with regard to the installation and all that, with the second line installation. But yes, we are, we should be at least doing that minimum, even though our original target was much higher for this year in the first half. We were looking at 9,000, 10,000 tons, but unfortunately, with the way the situation has been for the first 1.5 months, we should definitely be looking at 7,000 metric tons of sales.
Despite lower stocking, is it possible to procure what we have already done, like 7,000?
See, the when lower stocking densities happen at the pond at the farm level, it is going to basically help in better growth of the shrimp, which will will be more for which I explained to one of the earlier participants. It will be basically giving a better output in the medium and larger sizes, which are the need for companies like ours, which depend on the markets like USA and European Union or UK, which are mostly focused on the large and the medium sizes. So lower stocking densities means doesn't actually mean lower volume, but actually it is a better growth. Thereby, the farmers, instead of harvesting smaller sizes and curtailing their crops in the first 60 days or 70 days, they could, you know, they could actually have better growth, thereby better output also, even in lower stocking industries, but subject to, of course, disease and, you know, any weather conditions, any unfortunate, unforeseen conditions. But it would definitely give a good success rate with regard to medium and large sizes and more volume of such. It may not be coming up to the same volume, higher volume rather. We wouldn't say we will have a higher volume this year. As I mentioned to the earlier participants also, it is a challenge for sure. But with more medium and large sizes, we will be able to handle and we can focus on such sales volumes, especially mainly because of markets which the company deals with or is focused on mainly, where we always look forward to, that is USA and European Union.
Sure, sir. Understood. Sir, lastly, on our the other line that we have started working on, the 5,000 metric tons line of ready to eat. So we have two lines now. So is the first line EU approved? The second line just came up.
The new facility has still not been approved by the EU. And any facility after 2019 has not been approved for the EU. Any facility which opened after 2019, unfortunately for us, we are really getting hit. And we have been pursuing very seriously with the Indian government authorities, as it is more of a government to government negotiations or deals, which is rather delaying and affecting companies like ours with regard to the business, and we are taking it up seriously. As we have also discussed with the team and EU, and we know what they have communicated to us, what is the current situation of the problem. And we are taking up that problem with the Indian authorities also. We just hope it resolves soon, because they already finished their visit. We just hope they resolve soon. And the sooner they do it, we will be able to capitalize the EU market, take advantage of the EU market by selling, using our ready-to-eat capacity for that market also. So which is going to help us much faster in growing our volumes with regard to ready-to-eat as and when that market opens up for us.
So our entire ready-to-eat line
currently is entirely focused on the US market. And when the EU market opens up, yes, the entire ready-to-eat will be shared between both markets. But still, at the time also, a major player will be the US market for sure on those two lines, on the 10,000 metric ton.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. I think we have some export benefits from the government sector. Could you please quantify the percentage or what are the amount of normally used to receive every year?
It varies, but the current full year it was 5.2% as a percentage of the net revenue.
0.2%?
5.2%, sir.
5.2%. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you again. So given the tough situation on supply side and in general in the US, and now that we have our ready-to-eat line ready, in the subsequent quarters like Q1, Q2, are we looking to maximize our sales more towards these lines to maximize our realizations? And so is it possible to
that is the plan. That is the plan. That is the plan. And we definitely are planning to maximize more of those product sales and, you know, produce more of those products definitely in the current situation. And that is the way to go for the company also in the current, you know, market conditions, definitely. That's the idea.
So any mix number, any like 30% or 40% of incremental sales, anything like that?
We should be looking at 30% at least minimum. We should be looking at. We are trying to push more, and the more contracts which I had explained to the earlier participants, to the more contracts which we sign with the retail customers, we would be, because most of the ready-to-eat products go to the retail customers, so we will be able to do more of that of those products. So we are currently waiting for them to give us a new set of requirements. As such, they are also looking towards their summer sales and summer promotions. So they are, we understand they are just not sitting on shrimp inventory. They are also sitting with high inventories of other like crab and all that. So we are working with them. We are coordinating with them. And as and when you know, they come to the conclusion of their next buys, each one of them, we are positive that we will be able to get a good chunk, a good share of their ready-to-eat product requirements.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vivek Chaturvedi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, hi. I think you just guided for 7,000 metric tons in the first half of the financial year. I joined the call a little late. I'm not sure if you've given any guidance for the second half in terms of volume.
No. We just mentioned we are looking forward to 7,000 metric tons in the first half. We need anything guidance or anything.
I'm sorry, sir. You're sounding muffled.
Hello.
Again.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. So we did not give any guidance with regard to anything regard to second half of the current financial year. It was all mainly about the first half. We were saying that we are looking positively to do a 7,000 metric ton volume of sales between all the markets. That's what we have mentioned. We didn't mention anything about second half as of today.
Okay. Okay. And so the pricing currently is also around the 700 per kg mark that you had shared with us in the presentation?
The average realization for the quarter was 707 rupees.
Correct. And so what would be the current realization going on for the sales that we are currently booking?
It may be a little coming down a little bit, but at the same time, it will be hovering around this, say, 700 rupees, dependent on how much of the products you are able to, in the high value products, back in the decide. And the more high value products we could look at anywhere between 720 to 750 also. In the month. So that's the situation.
Sorry, sir, I couldn't get you. Did you say that you are looking at increasing the share of value added, and that is why the realization could be between 720 and 750?
Yeah, if we are able to do higher volumes of value ready-to-eat products, definitely the realization rate should be 720 to 750. Of course, subject to also the currency fluctuations also, if it goes to 80 and a half or 80 or 79, that may not be the situation. That is, so remember, the currency also plays a role with regard to our average realization in Indian rupees, right? So that is also.
And sir, how much was the average realization in FY23, the dollar rupee rate?
770, sorry, I have the average realization with me is 778. Rupees per
sir, I was looking at the dollar rupee rate. I mean, in terms of equivalent dollars, how much was our realization?
Just a minute, please. It was $9.6 per kilo. Is that what you asked me, or you asked the dollar rupee conversion rate?
Yeah, sir. So $9.6 per kg, it means. Do rupee dollars be there. And then, sir, just one last question. What would be our hedging policy? How much of our exports would be normally hedged?
We basically cover our exposure with forward contracts, our receivables to a certain extent. It's not more than 20 to 25%, but in a depreciating rupee scenario, or rather an appreciating strengthening dollar scenario, such forward contracts don't really make much of or rather provide much advantage. So in a depreciating rupee scenario, we are anyway having around max, we don't have more than 20 to 25% of our total annual sales closed, covered by forward. More than that, we don't have it covered by forward contracts. We limit to that extent only.
So this is 20 to 25% of the outstanding receivables?
Of the total sales of the company in a year. We don't have more than 20 to 25% covered by forward. More than that, we don't have it. So we only have 20 to 25% covered by forward contracts. Earlier in the past, we used to have almost 50% of our sales utilizing forward contracts, but that was a few years ago. But now, with the way the rupee, the currency has been depreciating, it didn't make any sense at all.
So, thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one on their phone now. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Chaudhary Karuturi for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Yashashri. And we thank all the participants for making this call, and for any further queries or clarifications, you may always reach out to us on the email address ir@apexfrozenfoods.com. We thank the team of Stellar IR advisors too. Thank you very much and have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Apex Frozen Foods Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.